Welcome to Manager Tools and Career Tools. Today's guidance, how to respond to your company making a layoff announcement. That's important. There are a number of things you should be doing, and most guidance doesn't talk about these kind of things. As many of you probably know, but maybe not everybody, this cast is a re-release cast from years ago, but we think it's especially important to be releasing it right now in light of the economic effects of COVID-19. Folks, we know you're struggling. If there's anything we can do to help, please send us an email, customerservice@manager-tools.com. Here we go.
Based on the comments we get from email, and I guess a lot of it in the forums as well, this cast is long overdue.
Yeah.
You know, far too many of us respond incredibly poorly when it comes to announcements of impending layoffs, right? We're at our desk, we're working, somehow there's some announcement comes down about a pending layoff, and we respond in a way that is terribly hurtful to our careers.
Yeah. I mean, we get this question, and getting a question like, what do I do in a layoff when the economy's in a downturn 6 months or 8 months or a year after layoff started in a broad swath of companies really surprises me. And not only that people are surprised, I shouldn't be surprised, right? To be surprised in our business is not a good thing, but that people are surprised, the sense of denial is significant. And so, gosh, it's terrible. So as you might imagine, we have a better way and there's a playbook to follow. And guess what? Career Tools has it. And that's what this cast is about.
Good. So what's our playbook? It's probably long and protracted, probably like 5 casts worth of information or something.
11 billion steps. Yeah. No, actually 3 steps, only 3, one of which has 3 subsets. So total of 6 points to make today. The 3 are deliver results. That's first. Believe it or not, folks, that's first. Not panic, but deliver results. Number 2, search quietly, which has 3 parts. Update your resume, outreach externally, and outreach internally, which are slightly different. And then number 3 is listen to rumors.
Ooh, listening to rumors. Well, that's different for us. So we're going to, okay, we'll talk about that when we get there. So, okay, first, deliver results. Well, that's got to be the most important, right? I mean, you're employed by the company. There's layoffs going on. I don't know how you could possibly expect to not be considered for layoffs if your performance is not up to speed.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No matter what anybody else suggests at any time regarding any layoff, the most important thing you can do when impending layoffs are announced or suspected is to deliver the results for which you are accountable, period. Yeah, I have to say, I mean, if you were an alien and you watched 5,000 people all across the world respond to layoff announcements or redundancy announcements or what have you, you would say that the approved solution is panic. And in fact, some people don't even realize that they're panicking because, you know, it's like in the movie American President where there's a bit of a crisis and the press secretary says, well, of course, the first thing we should do is not appear to panic. And the president says, no, I think actually the first thing we should do is not panic. you know, people just become clumsy. They stop working. They talk to their friends. They believe things from people that they never trusted before. Anybody who has any new information that they don't know where it came from is suddenly an oracle. And the work slows to a grinding halt, which doesn't make things any better. And there's all kinds of conversations. People are very uncomfortable. People are very touchy. And things get very, very quiet, sometimes very somber. And it's just, it's as friends of mine used to say, it's bass-ackwards. But look, let's talk about why results are the most important thing. We know, we've seen the panic, but we're done talking about that. Let's talk about why we recommend we deliver results first. The primary behavior, again, is the panic. And look, we understand it. People are worried about income and so on. But the question becomes, when you have a threat, is not it's okay to do things that are random, but rather, what's the most effective way to respond? And the lack of certainty that we feel during times of stress is not a reason not to take action, not to do the right thing relative to getting us over the hump. Look, the first reason is because it's the professional thing to do. The first reason to deliver results is because it's professional. If you're in a job, even if your role is eliminated, within 6 months, someone is going to be asked to take over your key responsibilities. And they're not going to have a clue what you were doing unless you've behaved as a professional, particularly in the transition, and probably prepared some sort of transition document, something that says when you take over this role, here's the status of things that, you know, how I left things. Here are the key deliverables that we work on. Very straightforward. Okay.
All right. One reason that one ought to do this, we got to say it. I mean, unfortunately, but it's the right thing to do. It's inappropriate for us to stop working if we're getting paid by the company. So we can't do nothing. And most of us don't know what to do to keep ourselves busy all day when it comes to kind of that career job transition stuff.
Yeah. People can't fill up the day with that, but they don't do any work. And so there ends up being nothing getting done, right?
Yeah. So, you know, why not just stay busy with work that could be of value and, you know, frankly, continue to build your reputation? I guess the other point here related to this, it's not only the right thing to do. Rumors aren't always true, right?
Right.
It could be just a rumor if that's what you're acting on. So if we slack off and it's just a rumor, we're behind, right?
Yeah.
So I just encourage folks to, you know, don't fall prey to bad rumors. Keep working. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Another reason, because it impresses the hell out of other people. They're going to be flailing about. We're going to be working. We're going to be professional and focused and delivering value and working our schedule, showing up for meetings. If nobody else shows, okay, fine. Now, look, some people say, well, there's risk in that. And I feel like putting the risk in quotes, that others are going to be thinking that we're stupid, that we ought to be heading for the lifeboats already, or don't we know how bad it is? Well, it's not that bad yet. And they're going to think we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic rather than getting in the lifeboats, or we're blowing off our search. But really, at this point, are we going to spend time worrying about what other people are going to think about us when everybody else is panicking? No. And there's just as good a chance that the risk of someone thinking poorly of us will think, man, look at Mr. Cool Cucumber over here. He doesn't appear to be affected by this at all. When people say, are you affected? Well, I'm worried like everybody else, but I've got a job to do. I'm doing it and I'm being smart about it.
Yeah.
And you know, there's something else here regarding impressing the hell out of other people. Your boss will notice it too.
And your boss's peers and
they're
going to say, boss, and
hey, you seem pretty calm about this. I said, well, you know, there's nothing I can do. If you guys lay me off, I'm not in control of that. So I'm going to focus on the things that are in my circle of influence, you know, and that means my work. Sure, I'm cautiously, you know, concerned, but nobody's told me to stop working. So I have obligations and I'm going to meet them. And if you need something from me, you let me know.
One of the other reasons, and this one I know well because I found this to be very important to me in a time when, for those who don't know, I was at WorldCom when this whole thing blew apart. So initially, it was kind of fairly depressing. But at some point, you got to have something to do, right? I mean, you can sit around, be despondent, be paralyzed, have the energy just completely sucked out of you, or you can focus on getting something done. And having something to do makes it go a lot better. Yeah, everybody else is going to be standing around like a bunch of zombies, getting nothing done, right? They're going to think they're accomplishing stuff. They're running around. They're talking about the impending layoff, but they're getting nothing done.
Yeah. And what's more, you know, something else I've noticed, I just talked to a couple people recently, they're going to go home tired. And that will reinforce the idea that they're busy at work. But it's nerves and stress. It's not activity. It's not accomplishment.
Yeah, it's nervous energy, right?
It's
your body, you know, shaking and throwing off heat as opposed to actually producing real work.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're doing all that stuff while we're keeping focused on getting stuff done. And when our boss needs something, we'll have it for him.
What? Right.
If he wants a status, we're going to have the status for her.
Yep.
When a team is put together to do something, we're going to be the folks that are on it. So, yeah. I mean, that's incredible exposure to decision makers. And if there's a decision going to be made, we want to have the final chance to make an impression on those folks.
Now, look, if you're on the if you're on a team with somebody else's boss and you come to the meetings on time and deliver and professional or polite, and people ask you if you're worried, you say, well, sure, but I'm also responsible and I feel an obligation to this company. I like this company. I like my job. And somebody's got to do this stuff and I'm happy to do it. That's the thing that when it's 11 o'clock at night and people are standing or there's a meeting going on about what headcount is going to be and who's going to be in the count, your boss's peer says, I got to tell you, she's good. I mean, everybody else is like, oh, blah, 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 and coming to the office and asking for stuff and so on. And when I asked her how she was doing, she said, I'm fine and I'm working hard and I hope this thing passes. But if it doesn't, I'll do my best and see where I end up. And everybody admires that. And I must say, bosses particularly admire it if they have not been through a layoff or a downturn before and they see someone beneath them who hasn't as well, really stepping up to the plate. It's just a very impression, a very impressive perception on impressive impression to make on them. Look, it's better to stay busy to continue your point. None of us are so knowledgeable about a career search activities that we could fill up multiple days, all day sitting at our desk doing them, separate from whether that's appropriate or not. If you're not going to do work, and you don't have enough time to fill up your day with career search stuff, then what are you going to do? You're going to bump around like a zombie. So look, at most career search takes up 4 hours a day, and we recommend you fill the rest of your day up with job-related work. And yeah, actually more than 4 hours. You know, take 8 hours and then spend another four at home at night late in the day working on your career search.
Yeah. Also gives us time to create that transition guidance document that we've talked about in previous casts.
Right.
If you're wondering what to be doing, because it sure feels like all the stuff we used to is largely pointless, right?
Right.
And create
right.
a transition briefing document. Now, we talked about that in How to Resign cast some time ago. So if you're interested in that, go look at that.
Yeah. And then lastly, continuity. We're already thrown for a loop, right? We have concerns, right? If we feel that our job is at risk and then we stop working at it, it's sort of a double whammy. If you used to work every day and one assumes you were, and then you get a shock to your system, and then you add to the shock by not doing what used to be an important part of your daily routine, it makes things worse. It makes the paranoia or the depression or the fear worse. There are thousands of counselors who will tell you that work is great therapy. So keep at it, come in, deliver each day. It's going to confound other people. It's going to set an example, and it will make you better in the short term and in the long term as well.
Right. If you've been around for 20 years and you've been through this before, but if you're new to the workforce or you haven't gone through this before, believe me, your mental outlook is the most important thing you can possibly protect during this process. And I can tell you from experience, it's not as easy as it might sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And focusing on work is a big help there.
I just want to mention one more thing before we go on to search, and that is that we spend a lot of time on this, and oftentimes we get accused of being long, taking too much time. You could have done that cast in 5 minutes. We have seen this thousands of times. It is not enough to say you should work during this time, because at one point of everybody's brain, they know that. But we've seen thousands of people go through this, and almost no one chooses it. We're giving you every reason we can think of to show you this is our recommendation. It is the first recommendation. Even if you don't do the other two, this is the one we recommend you follow. Keep working. Keep delivering.
Good. But that's not enough. Or if you want to be as effective as possible, that's not enough. It's
yeah.
it's required. It's necessary, but yeah. maybe not sufficient. And the
right.
next thing you need to do is obviously start searching, but search quietly.
Yeah. You deliver value, and then you start looking for another job. And there are all kinds of things you need to do. We'll talk about those. Look, it's reasonable. People expect it. It sure as heck beats the hell out of panicking and standing around and doing nothing. Your boss expects it. He or she's going to look the other way at times. It's okay. They want you to be searching so that you will feel good when you get another offer. And then they say, well, we've got an offer for you, or we don't. And you're not the one that says, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't make my mortgage payment. The problem is people say, well, you can't do that. The boss will be upset. No, that's not true. It's not true in our experience. They just don't want us to be giving the finger to the rest of the organization and say, to heck with you guys. I'm going to spend 10 hours a day networking and getting another job while you guys are paying me. People use the debating technique of the false opposites. They say, well, if my boss sees me doing nothing but career searching, I'm going to be in trouble. Well, yeah, that's true. But that's not a reason not to spend a couple hours a day on it at the end of the day. Or, frankly, working a full day, spending a half hour on it at the end of the workday, and then going home and working on it for two or three more hours. Because nowadays, you know, it's funny. Everybody talks about, oh, I'm emailing all the time. But then suddenly, they can't email about their career search at night. They've got to do that during work hours. I would suggest that just because they want to feel like they've accomplished something during the work hours because too many people are panicking and are zombie-like. So look, when we say quietly, we do mean likely at night while we're at home. Or late in the day, you know, 5:30, something like that, when other people are starting to leave work. Yeah, you can take a job opportunity call on your mobile phone at work. You can.
But not when you're standing in front of someone else's cube and loudly mentioning the name of the other
company. Oh, you're calling about my possible resume. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Those are the people that end up dead and they don't need a new job because people throw, they sharpen a bunch of paper clips and stab them to death with it. Yeah. On the other hand, we're not saying wait. Start now. If there are rumors, don't wait for more information. If you believe the rumor is credible, and by the way, hopefully you know you should have, we recommend you, you know some things about your industry and about your earnings of your company and about others in your industry and in the market in general, and how things are going. You have a Google search on your company so you can keep track of all the news, what amounts to a clipping service on the press for your company. There is no shame, none, in searching right away. Yeah, it's not polite to do it in the middle of the day, unless you're going to take a break to do it, and then you could. But waiting is absolutely positively out of the question. Start now. The moment you hear, the resume ought to come out.
Yeah, there's a couple things you got to do. And the first thing you got to do is get your resume updated.
Yeah.
Yeah, first things first. Once we start our outreach, we're going to be asked for a resume. It's almost as if everyone goes to training where they teach, hey, if anyone asks for your help in a career transition, ask them to send a resume first because half of them won't be able to put one together. And that reduces your workload by 50%, right? At least.
Yeah, that's right. It is exactly right. And I got to tell you, that's what I do. Well, send me your resume. And I don't get them sometimes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, half
no problem.
Emails.
And look, if you're not going to work on a resume, if you're not going to work on your resume, I'm not going to help you with your search. Sorry, because that's the lingua franca. You know, that's the document for your search, right?
So yeah. We just had one of the members of our and friends of ours said to us the other day, hey, would you review my resume so I can start calling friends and network members?
It's like, okay. Yeah. And yeah, like, okay, smart, right? Don't call me and say, I need some help. And then I say, well, how's your resume? Oh, I'm going to work on that. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll wait until I get your resume because I know that half the people don't ever do it. And then those half are the ones that are bumping into each other at the office like zombies and saying, oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Yeah. And look, we've got resume guidance. We've got our resume update guidance. You can find it in the resume casts on the site. Make your resume current based on the work you've done recently. You know, too many of us let our resume slide. And then in moments of crisis, we regret it when we put together something that has errors in it. I have to tell you, I don't know how the rest of the world does it, but I know in America, every house has smoke detectors. And I know lots of houses that don't have batteries in their smoke detectors because they can't reach them or they need a ladder or whatever. You know, yeah, I'll get to it or who's going to have a fire kind of thing. And resumes are just like batteries and smoke detectors. You don't care about it until you need it and then you regret it. And the sad thing about resumes is it's not like a smoke detector in the sense that when you put a new battery in the smoke detector, it's ready. When you look at your resume and it's not really good and you feel pressure and you feel tension and a little bit of panic, and then you put together something with errors in it or something that doesn't have all your best stuff in it because you didn't take time to reflect and improve on the first draft and ask for input or so on, then you get something that doesn't sell you well when in fact you most need to be sold well.
Yeah. And don't delay for crying out loud. I mean, if you think you've got longer than a week, you're crazy. Five days from the announcement to the final draft, period.
Five days.
Flipping days.
5 days. That's it. From the time you hear, to you have 5 days for your resume to be set in stone. Yeah.
Okay. So now you got the resume updated. So you got something, some piece of paper that you can have a conversation about. And now you've got to start your outreach. And external outreach would be one place to go.
Yep. Yeah, look, people who are elsewhere, you do this first, right? It takes longer. Talk to friends, talk to family, talk to associates. Make a note on LinkedIn to the effect that you're considering other options. It's probably no secret that things are soft at work. Now, if you think that things are getting bad, but there hasn't been announcement of impending layoffs, that's a different situation. That's a stealth search, and we don't recommend you put announcement on LinkedIn. But you would, of course, start with your resume and then reach out to external people first.
Yeah, and send them your resume.
Yeah, I'm amazed at this. People say, I really like your help, Mark. And I get a lot of these. And they don't send the resume. And I'm polite. I say, well, you know, love to see your resume. And I don't hear back in many cases. Look, if I don't know how much more clear we need to make it. You have to have a resume, period. And look, we could talk for days about following up to an initial contact, but that's really not what this cast is about. We have more casts to come on the overall topic about job changing and transitions. In fact, Wendy and I think, Mike, you've seen the list and you're okay with the list of the various themes that we have for career tools. And one of the themes or one of the large groupings of casts is on transitions and includes interviews and getting fired and getting laid off and all those kind of things.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Good stuff.
Yeah. And look, every 3 to 4 to 5 weeks, you've got to stay in touch with those people that you've reached out to at a minimum. And 3 weeks is probably better. Hey, what's going on? How's it going? And so on.
Exactly. And then once you started with the external search, then do an internal outreach. You know, take the same techniques that we've suggested for your external folks and apply those for folks internal to your firm. You know, go talk to other managers, to executives, mentors, friends, associates, and then tell them you're open to new opportunities within the company. And then follow up with them every 2 to 3 weeks because, you know, frankly, they're going to know a lot more about the fluidity of internal opportunities, and you want to avail yourselves of those if they're there.
Yeah. And okay, now, and this is important that somewhere in the interviewing series, I don't remember where, we shared a fundamental principle of job searches that most folks really ignore, don't even think about. And in fact, it's one of the most people simply don't act as if it's true, but I can assure you it's completely true. And that is, there are two parts to every search: getting offers and then taking offers. That these two parts have completely different rules, and yet too many people are in the business of taking offers, thinking about what offer they're going to take while they haven't gotten any yet. Look, until you have an offer, you have no power, no purchase going forward. And then once you have an offer, the questions you ask change, the factors you consider change. It's night and day, okay? When a layoff is announced, you're in that first stage, which is getting offers. Look, don't worry right now about whether or not you should be taking a given offer, right? You don't have it yet. Stop worrying about something that may not happen and will be less likely to happen the more you worry about it, because every minute you spend worrying about something is a minute not spent preparing and fighting for the damned offer to begin with. My point is this. People say, well, I don't know how aggressive I should be in my external search, because what happens if I get an offer there, but it requires me to move, and then maybe I won't get a notice from the company for like 30 or 60 days, and I'm afraid if I pull the trigger on the external one, I'll have an offer within a week, and then I'll have a tough decision to make. I'm like, my first thought is, no, you're not going to have an offer within a week. But secondly, that's the business of trying to figure out when you want to make a call when you don't. And every delay you make, you're going to regret if it turns out that you don't end up with an offer after 30 or 60 days. You want, in the first part, when a layoff is announced, then you're thinking, I'm in a search. And the first part of the search is getting offers. Get offers. You can't control whether one company gives you an offer with a short enough deadline that you won't have chance to get a second offer. That's too bad. Believe me, the people who are left without a chair in this musical chairs game, I don't know if musical chairs translates internationally, but there are people who won't end up with an offer with a company you're at, and they won't have done the search because they've been hoping and praying and essentially panicking. Their panic has been a way of saying, I just want to stay here. I'll hope, even though, of course, hope is not a method. I'll have faith, which is not the thing to do, having faith in a professional process. And what ends up happening is you don't end up with no offers. So it is wrong to think, I don't want some offers to happen too soon, so I'm going to go slow on this or slow on that. If you get an offer, that's a good thing. And you have to make a decision about it, perhaps, before the deadline. You may be able to get an extension. attention, although probably not much more than a week, and you may be in a tough spot. Having an offer and trying to decide whether or not to take it is a way better position to be in than having nothing at all. And too many people want to get into the business of which offer would I take and can I delay this and so on. That's the second part of the search. The first part of the search, when you have no offers, is getting one under your belt. And that means starting now.
Absolutely. Our last point is, it's just going to surprise some people because, and I can't, it's, I'm having a hard time even getting the words out of my mouth. We're suggesting you actually listen to rumors.
Yeah, now, and just so for those people who are not premium, who won't ever see this, listen to rumors. Listen is all caps because the emphasis is on listening, not on rumors. And we've done a cast, I think, I don't know if it's out yet, on gossip. Right. And we said, look, you walk away from it. Right. And you certainly don't foment it. You don't add to it. But rumors about and you could make the case that rumors about layoffs are gossip after a fashion, although we define gossip as personal in nature. But they do have some, they share some of the same characteristics. But the issue with rumors is they often have nuggets that are true. And if you want there to be less rumors, it's easy. All you have to do is listen and not talk about them, because then that's one less person talking about them. But we are absolutely countercultural on this, because you've heard the guidance. Oh, you shouldn't listen to rumors. You know, they're probably not true. Well, that's idiotic. We've not experienced that. Start your own rumor to shape the debate. I mean,
that's a good one.
That one, I used to laugh. Now it just kind of ticks me off. Listen and comment and see if you can learn more about the source and then go upstream. I had somebody say, well, when I hear a rumor, I go upstream. I'm sorry. What are you now? Now your job title is rumor monger or rumor detective or something?
Salmon man.
Right. Good. Look, all that stuff is crap. The way to deal with rumors is to listen quietly to everyone that you hear. Nod your head. Don't shush people the way we suggest in the gossip cast. Now is the time to listen. If you can learn to ignore the exciting parts, the titillating parts that really get everybody spun up, and allow ourselves, if we can allow ourselves to simply receive information without judging or drawing conclusions, we're going to be much better off. After you've heard two or three or four rumors, you're going to get you're going to begin to get a sense of the real picture. They're often based in truth. Sometimes they're situations where people have extrapolated a little bit, but they're based in truth. They're rarely completely truthful, but they're often based in truth. So listen, reflect. Don't react to any one rumor. Don't make any rumor cause you to have a bad day. You know, if somebody says, I heard that, blah, 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 and they act all dramatic about it, you say, oh, okay, well, you know, I've got work to do. Now, if you hear three rumors that are similar, that might well affect your planning and actions, although please consider the source. And it does seem like the people who have the most rumors tend to be the people who are the most dramatic about it. And what they're doing is making themselves the center of attention to give themselves something to do because they're panicking and they're not working and they're not doing their career search. If you're talking to someone else whom you can see, 99% of the time, that means you're not working on your search. And that's not a good thing. So, look, we also know that right now your head is spinning if you've been affected by a layoff rumor. And so we've tried to keep this cast simple and short. And as I've said before on the forums, stay frosty. And if you're really worried, come and ask us in the forums and we'll be happy to help.
Good. So it's really simple. Deliver results. Then start your search quietly. And the first step of that is updating your resume. Then do an external outreach followed by an internal outreach. And number three, counter to our normal career tools advice, listen to rumors. And again, the emphasis being on listen.
There you go.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you. That's it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you back here again next week. In the meantime, join us in the discussion forums, www.managertools.com/forums. We'll see you there. So long.
Okay, that's it for layoff announcement, guys. Tomorrow, we're going to start talking about systemic career documentation. It's a two-part show, and most people simply haven't done the blocking and tackling they need to, so that if, heaven forbid, you have to start looking for a job, you have all the things you need in one place. Tomorrow's cast will address that. See you then.